Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here at the Big X Studios. Don't forget, we continue on live each day at 11 o'clock. You can catch the replay almost every day at 3 o'clock. It's been interrupted a little bit, rightfully so, by Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb and some of his daily press conferences, and we'll have Governor Holcomb's update again on this Thursday coming up at 2:30 this afternoon. As we kind of do every day, a coronavirus update, and I know that some of you probably sick and tired of hearing about this virus that has completely changed the way we lived and basically canceled all sports from the calendar for the time being, but 10 cases now, at least 10 known tested positive cases in Clark County, up one yesterday in Floyd County, so 7 cases in Floyd, 10 in Clark, a total of 645 positive cases now in the state of Indiana, with 293 of those cases coming from Marion County, from the Indianapolis metropolitan area. And as of today, as of the numbers coming in last night, 17 deaths in our state that the coronavirus played some role in. So this continues to be concerning. We continue to watch New York City, especially here in America, with angst and with some excitement there to see how things go. There have been some bad reports on where things could get, maybe where things already are beginning to be. Then there have been some other numbers recently that say, hey, this is not going to be good, but it may not be as bad as what was initially thought. So let's hope and pray that the latter of that is the case. But this thing continues to be just something that is amazing, and I'm not sure we ever have seen or ever will see anything like this again. And kind of tying it into a sports perspective, I saw an Associated Press story yesterday, and the headline of the story is Game Zero, Spread of Virus Linked to Champions League Match. And we've heard so much when you look at Italy about Bergamo, and it's a city located in the Italian province of Lombardy. That's a region that's really been mentioned with a big outbreak, kind of one of the epicenters of the virus in Italy. And I guess that there's the Champions League. I'm not sure the different levels. I'm not a soccer guy, to be quite honest with you, especially when it comes to European soccer. But Bergamo has a team, and they're very proud of their team. And it's a team playing up in a bigger league, and they're in the playoffs, in the postseason. And Bergamo's team that's based in their city, the stadium there could not fit them. And this is 2 or 3 weeks ago, sometime, I believe, in the middle of February. Actually, it was February 19th. So they moved the game to Rome. Milan maybe is the more correct there, to a very famous and larger stadium in Milan. All these fans from this Bergamo city in this affected region of Lombardy, they make this travel, they get on buses, they have fan buses, they rally to the game, and they're playing a team from Valencia, Spain, which is another hot spot for the virus. And this article is just amazing. It almost, and there's no, I don't think, any scientific facts yet, although they did say they're going to look into it when they have the opportunity. But a lot of people think this game right here, a soccer game between an Italian city, an Italian team, between a Spanish team, almost was kind of like throwing fuel on the fire. Two infected regions probably had a lot of that circulating through their community even back in February, maybe even in January as well. They meet up close quarters, cheering, jumping up and down, hugging,
yelling, celebrating. And even if they weren't at the game, the article goes on to write about, you know, parties at houses and bars and restaurants in those cities being packed for this big postseason soccer match. So very interesting tie into sports. And as I read this story, you think about New York City, you think about out west in California and the state of Washington, NCAA tournament locations. And you think about all the auxiliary things, the bars and the gatherings, and you understand, if you didn't already, why the NCAA tournament absolutely had to be canceled now that we know what we know about this coronavirus. Just absolutely amazing. Let's jump into the show lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, segment one. Lee Kelly is going to join me here in just a few minutes. We've got some Zaxby's headlines to go through today. It has been a very, very busy news day. Some very exciting things to talk about. We'll do that here in just a few minutes. Later in the program, as always, on Thursdays, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with me. We're going to talk IU basketball. We're going to talk recruiting, new scholarship offer out to an out-of-state player, a New England prep school player earlier this week. We'll chat about that and some other recruiting targets of the Hoosiers as well. And then later in the show, I'm excited to talk to Mark Loftner. He's superintendent of Greater Clark County Schools, and we've been having some community-oriented guests. We'll talk some sports and some facility upgrades that are forthcoming to some of the Greater Clark schools, namely Jeffersonville, Charlestown, New Washington as well. But we're also going to talk with Mark about how this virus has affected his role as a superintendent and, of course, the schools. So looking forward to a chat with him. And we'll continue on, as we have every so often, having some non-sports guests join us as we keep you updated about how this coronavirus is affecting our local communities, our health departments, hospitals, schools, and other civic leaders. So stay with us for some of that coming up. That's the show lineup. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany for lunch and dinner options that you can get quickly in a clean and pleasant atmosphere without the crowds and chaos at the grocery stores. Honey Baked Ham has several dinner bundles as well as their delicious ham and turkey breasts for takeout. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines. Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And I want to bring on Lee Kelly. Lee, if I can't have you in studio with me as we are effectively practicing social distancing as we should, it's, I guess, the second best thing I can do is have you on the phone. So, Mr. Lee Kelly, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Matt. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, I tell you, crazy times. I just mentioned that soccer game earlier that between a Spain team and an Italy club. You hear things like that. You see some of the pictures on TV, some of the videos available on social media. And this is just an absolute crazy time that we're in the midst of.
It really is. And there's no precedent for, you know, how to work with all of these different problems that come up. And it's uncharted territory for everybody. My hat's off to the people that have to make these decisions and tell us where we can and can't go and when and so on. And it's not a job I would want. Tip of the cap to those people.
Absolutely. Lee Kelly joining me for this first season, and Lee and I are going to talk through some of the headlines of the day. I tell you, there have been some slow sports days. There's no question about it. And I know that you've grown a little bored with no basketball, no Dodger baseball to check in on here early in the spring. But today has not been one of those days. This morning, things have been really going off the radar with what's coming in. And I want to start with this, Lee. Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek, we know he's a big prospect. We know he's a great player. We know he's a big target of Archie Miller and Indiana and of other schools as well, no question about it. Purdue, Louisville, many other high major schools have been on him now for a number of years. But he was named earlier this morning by Gatorade as the Gatorade Player of the Year for the state of Indiana. Had this been his senior year, had he just finished his high school career, I kind of expect that from Trey. I think he's going to bring himself as the best player in that class. But to win it as an underclassman is an absolutely huge accomplishment for him. It's a very coveted award. I would put it not far behind the Indiana Mr. Basketball Award. And I think, Lee, most impressively, if you look at the other underclassmen that have won that award, there have not been very many. The last to do so was Greg Oden of Lawrence North, who, you know, he had some health issues and some other things going on, kind of fizzled out in college, but was an outstanding high school player and at the start of his college career. And also Jason Gardner of Indianapolis North Central, Damon Bailey, and J. Edwards from Marion. That's elite company, Lee, that he's in, winning that award this morning as an underclassman.
Yeah, very elite company and very well-deserved. Young man's not only an outstanding basketball player and outstanding athlete, but an outstanding young man. And last year during that tourney run with Zach McCright each week, had a chance to talk to him a number of times, and just a very well-spoken, very mannerly, nice young man. Got a chance to see him a few times. You and I went down to the court in sectional and saw him two or three times, and he's just, I really don't think he understands how good he could really be, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but he floats when he runs down the floor. He elevates with his jump shot in a way that you just don't see very often. He's just a very, very talented young man. And I think the sky's the limit, to say the least.
Yeah, no question about it. Huge accomplishment, and I think it's safe to say that he is Indiana's leading target in that class of 2021. No question about it that he's right there at the top, not only for Indiana, but I think he is raising himself with what he did this year for Silver Creek. And, of course, unfortunately, we'll never know exactly what some of his state tournament performances and perhaps a back-to-back state championship for Silver Creek could have been like due to this coronavirus. But an amazing year for him. And I got to admit, as much of a Trey Kaufman fan as I am, much of a believer as I am that he is the real deal, he is a big-time prospect. I was a little surprised as an underclassman to see him win the award, and I think that should signal that he has got the attention on a state and national level of a whole bunch of people, not just college coaches. So congratulations to Trey. Big stuff for him. Another headline coming in earlier was Sean East of UMass, of course, former New Albany point guard, teamed up with Romeo Langford for his high school career. Those guys were lots of fun to watch. State champions, I think 4 years ago today, New Albany won that 4A championship, defeating Rob Fennessy and his McCutcheon team. Of course, Rob was a sophomore that year, same as Romeo and Sean in that championship game. But Sean East entering the NCAA transfer portal. And I've said that, you know, sports have slowed down to a crawl. The NCAA transfer portal has not. Each year we've seen that number grow, and it's going to be interesting to see if that trend continues this year. But Sean East enters that portal looking for a new home. I have no question with what he was able to do, especially early in his freshman year at UMass. He's going to have a number of mid-major type schools after him. And very interesting to see that he enters the portal. Things for a great part of the season, Lee, seemed to be going very well. He did not start later in the season. His minutes weren't as great later in the season. Maybe not as many scoring opportunities later in the season. I saw recently UMass had a transfer coming in that's a guard as well. So you never know what's going on behind the scenes. But Sean East is going to be looking for a new Division I basketball home.
Yeah, and I would love to see it somewhere where we can keep an eye on the young man. It was we were able to follow him in UMass, but not as much as we would have liked. And again, a very nice young man, has continued to get better and better. And I think he's another one that his best days are ahead of him. But I think he's got to find the right program for that to happen. And hopefully he will match up with a coach that can appreciate his talents and where he's needed and where he will get playing time. And I think Sean East has, a good future in front of him here.
Absolutely. Lee Kelly joining me. This is our Zaxby's Headlines. We begin the show each day taking a look at some of the top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Lee, I want to mention this as well because this underscores how fun this past season was. Even without a state tournament moving beyond the sectional round, we've got some great talent right now in the area, and that's reflected by the junior All-Stars that were announced yesterday by the Indianapolis Star. Trey Kaufman on the core team, as expected, from Silver Creek, averaging 25.8 points a game. He's joined by Christian Lander of Evansville Rights, some other really talented players in that class. Caleb First, a Fort Wayne Blackhawk who's headed to Purdue, probably the next biggest name known in that core team. But on the blue team, which appears to be what they used to term as the South team, Jake Heidbreeder of Floyd Central. He averaged 20 points a game on the nose this year for Floyd Central, which won its first sectional championship in 31 years, and Jake obviously a huge part of that. He makes the junior All-Stars. Cooper Jacoby, Trey Kaufman's teammate, 6'6", 17.3 points a game at Silver Creek, getting a lot of Division I interest as well, mid-major level. He makes the junior All-Stars. So let's pray, hope, whatever we got to do, Lee, that this virus clears out of here, that people get back to health as soon as possible, because if we can see through it, it's a way away right now, but we've got some great juniors that are leading the way for our area and the state, and great to see those guys honored as junior All-Stars. Now we got to see if that junior-senior game is going to be played, that junior series against Kentucky going to be played later in June.
You know, and it's so up in the air. None of us at this point, I don't think, have any idea of when we will get back to somewhat what is considered normal, when, you know, sports will resume, when daily activities can resume to what we've known. And that's a big thing. You know, I really feel sorry for the senior athletes everywhere, but especially here in Indiana, some of the kids that I know that, you know, they were looking forward to playing their senior year in baseball or running track or playing golf or tennis or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, it's just not there. I mean, it's kind of unfinished business. And I know some of these, and maybe all of these kids, just dearly love to play that sport and to just have it taken out from under them at the last minute. And I know sports, when you look at the number of people that are sick and the number of lives we are losing because of this, sports is so far down the list. I understand that. When you're a 16, 17, 18-year-old young person and you've played all your life, and all of a sudden what should be your last year, your last time around, and for many of them, the last time they'll compete, it's kind of sad. And yet, in the grand scope of things, I understand it's way down the list, but I do feel sorry for them.
Yeah, no question. Lee Kelly joining me here in this first segment to go through some of the headlines. Pretty good news day for a sports scene that's shut down right now. And, Lee, I appreciate you taking time out to join me. I very much look forward to the time when you can be back in studio with me on Thursdays. I very much look forward to hopefully this spring, this summer, being on some baseball play-by-play with you here on the Big X. And let's hope that everyone stays safe and we can get back to some normalcy in the future, down the road, maybe just a bit.
Absolutely. This today marks the second week in a row that I have been in the house, and I'm ready for just about anything. So thank you for calling, and good talking to you. It's been a while.
Absolutely. Lee Kelly with me here on our Zaxby's Headlines, our opening segment each day. Zaxby's is home of our famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to orders at Zaxby's. Again, their drive-thrus still open with New Albany and the Jeffersonville locations. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Over at Inside the Hall, they're in the middle of the greatest Hoosier of all-time bracket. They seeded 68 all-time Hoosier greats, and we'll tell you more about that tournament, which you can vote in on InsideTheHall.com. As it progresses, we'll talk some recruiting, a new scholarship offer out earlier this week for Indiana. We'll talk more Trey Kaufman as well. That comes up next. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Coming up here in just a few moments, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall on IU basketball and more. And then don't forget, later in the program, Mark Loeffner, superintendent of Greater Clark County Schools, joins us for a chat about how this coronavirus situation has affected Greater Clark Schools and some other exciting facility improvements, projects that are continuing to move forward through this. That comes up in our final segment today. And before I get to Alex, I just see that IU has put out a release that Jordan Geronimo, 2020 class member for Indiana basketball next season, was announced earlier today as Gatorade Player of the Year in New Hampshire. So like Trey Kaufman, as an underclassman was in Indiana, the senior Geronimo gets that same award in the state of New Hampshire. Alex Bozich joins me right now. And Alex, how surprised were you this morning to see Trey Kaufman, as an underclassman, beat out players like Anthony Leal, Trey Galloway, and others, including some other really good juniors as well, Christian Lander, for that Gatorade Player of the Year award in the Hoosier State?
Well, pretty surprised, although I don't know what the exact process is for the voting. Wouldn't probably have been my pick. If I had to name who would be most deserving, I would probably go with Anthony Leal based on the fact that his team was, you know, in the highest class of basketball in Indiana, undefeated, one of the favorites to win the state championship. I think he'd have to be definitely right up in the mix. And obviously Lander's outstanding as well. But good for Trey Kaufman. It's pretty rare, I think, that an underclassman gets it. I think I read only the fifth time ever that a junior has won Indiana Gatorade Player of the Year. So congratulations to him. Well-deserved.
And I have to believe, and I know we've talked about this some after Christian Lander made his commitment to Indiana, but he clearly has to be the top target for Archie Miller and for his staff moving forward. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, if not the top, he's right in the top group, a couple names that I would put right near the top of the list. He obviously visited a ton this year, Bloomington, for various games, and it's clear that he's a priority. I think a lot of people felt like Purdue was one of the top schools on his list, and then they got that commitment from Caleb first, so I don't know exactly how that's going to affect Purdue's pursuit of Trey Kaufman. But, you know, Indiana's put as much time and effort as anybody in on recruiting him and seems to be in a really good position, so we'll see how it ends up. But yeah, I would, you know, if he wasn't the number one name on my list, he would be 1A or 1B.
Alex, let's keep on the line of recruiting and current juniors, especially in the state of Indiana. The Junior All-Stars announced yesterday. I mentioned in our Zaxby's headline segment that we had three locals, Kaufman, Jacoby, and Hydebreeder from Floyd Central, that were Junior All-Stars for our state, which is a big honor. And as I look at that junior class, especially the core Junior All-Star group that Trey Kaufman is a part of, just an outstanding, Christian Lander is a part of as well, just an outstanding group of talent, Division I players. Some have committed, some have not committed. Just a really, really solid group. And I know we're all so sad about basketball going away early this year, but that is going to be across the board, IU and non-IU, a terrific senior class to watch, which should be exciting when we think long ahead to high school basketball for next season.
Yeah, there's obviously a ton of talent in that class, from top to bottom. I think there's going to be beyond the guys that are going to the Big Ten, the high major level, there's going to be a lot of good mid-major players that are produced out of this class. So, you know, I don't know if it's the same, but there's been some classes over the year that I can remember in Indiana where it's been really deep. I mean, 2012 was one of those years where there was a ton of really good players. This is maybe not exactly the same as that, but that kind of reminds me of the year where you had, you know, Yogi and Gary Harris and all those guys were really just top to bottom, a lot of talent. So we'll see how it goes in terms of recruiting for IU with that class. It really, you know, obviously they've already got Lander. They really want Kaufman beyond that. I'm not sure exactly if there'll be anybody else in that class that they end up really pursuing hard. It doesn't seem like things have really taken off with Blake Wesley or Luke Good, the kid out of Fort Wayne. But just really, really good to have that much talent in your backyard. If you're Archie Miller, and he's done a really good job recruiting the state of Indiana, so there's no reason to believe that he's not going to continue to try to get the best players from the state and build his program with his inside-out approach.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Don't forget to check out InsideTheHall.com. You can follow Alex on Twitter at Inside the Hall. Lots of IU information, even in this slow period right now with sports at a screeching halt. Keeping on with recruiting, a new scholarship offer from Archie Miller. This is a player on the East Coast. Interesting connection to his prep school. That is where Mike Roberts, former IU player, current IU assistant coach, the newest member of Archie Miller's staff, where he played his prep school basketball in New England. Never seen him play. Few highlight videos have surfaced since he got the offer from Indiana. Alex Carabell, I believe, is his name. But he is someone that got some really high remarks in the New England League, which is always very competitive.
Yeah, New Hampton, I think, is the school he plays at, if I'm not mistaken, Matt. And I think that was also where Noah Vonleh, who was a one-and-done, played in Bloomington, he also played there. So Indiana's obviously a different coaching staff has recruited that school successfully. I think even going back to Bob Knight, as you mentioned, Mike Roberts played there. So it's going to be interesting to me with these younger kids, how not just Indiana, but how the schools that that have watched some of these guys, how they go about offering guys, because they're not going to be able to, for the foreseeable future, have guys on campus for visits. They're not going to be able to go watch players. So recruiting now has shifted to basically text messaging, phone calls, and FaceTime. So I think if you're a school that's kind of done your homework on the 2021, 22, and 23 classes to this point, you're probably not feeling too nervous, but I think there's going to be some schools that end up behind as a result of all of this, who had planned on using those April and maybe the summer evaluation periods to get out and see a lot of kids. If you weren't active going out watching kids during the high school season, there's going to be a situation where you're playing catch up for the foreseeable future. So for Indiana's sake, I think they did a pretty good job during the high school season. They have a pretty good idea of some of the kids they want to get in the 2021 and 22 classes, and they're going to have to use whatever resources available, whether that's, you know, calling guys and texting and FaceTime, Zoom meetings, whatever method that they prefer to kind of continue recruiting through this time. I mean, even though guys can't get on campus and they can't get face-to-face, they're you better believe that everybody is still recruiting and letting guys know who their priorities are. So not surprising to see an offer go out, and I'm sure we'll see some more here as the weeks and the months go by.
Absolutely. Talking with Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. He's a regular guest each Thursday on the program as we talk IU, college basketball, and more. I've got to send hats off to you and our friend Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, who joins me each Friday. This greatest IU basketball player of all time bracket that you've put together is outstanding. I believe that we're still in voting for the round of 64 for some of those games. You guys have broken it down into different brackets, different eras of IU basketball, and have had just some tremendous matchups. You guys seeded it, which I think is an awful tough thing to do, but did a nice job. How's that taking off? I know you're getting lots of participation and traction with that, and it's something in March when we'd like to be watching Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games, I guess is what it would be, starting tonight and this weekend. If we can't have that, at least there's something fun to think about some of the old-time players, some of the more recent players as well, and kind of hypothetically how these guys would match up against each other if they all were in their heyday and they stepped out on the court one-on-one at Assembly Hall. But tell us more about that. Great idea, and very neat to follow what the fans think. There have been some upsets, I've noticed. Some of the lower seeds have won.
Yeah, I wish I could take credit for the idea, but I can't. Jared and Cam Drummond and Dylan Wallace really came up with it, and pitched the idea, and you know, we decided to partner with the Assembly Call to do it. I think it was a great idea. I think it's given people something else to think about when they wish they were watching actual NCAA tournament games. But some of the seeding, I think there's been a little controversy amongst the fan base on the, how certain guys were seeded. For example, George McGinnis, who was one of the guys in the early rounds, was a 12 seed. And when I went back and looked back in 2008, I did a list of the top 10 players at IU ever. I actually had him in my top 10. So he was maybe a guy that a lot of people thought was underseeded. He won his first round matchup against Bill Garrett, which I hated to see those two guys going up against each other in the first round, because you don't want either one of them to have to go out like that. Today's is going to be pretty interesting. I think there's a ton of, you know, all the polls are up now on Twitter. The post is up on Inside the Hall, so you can look at all the matchups. But there's a lot of really good players in the post-night era, which is what we're in the round of 64 games now for the post-night era. We won't have anything tomorrow for it, and we'll resume next weekend with our next week starting on Monday with the round of 32 matchups. And we'll just kind of work through the bracket here. It's going to be interesting to see who wins. I have a hunch that Calvert Chaney's got a pretty good chance to win it, based on the fact that he's the all-time leading scorer at IU and big all-time leading scorer in the Big Ten. But there's also arguments to be made for guys like Isaiah Thomas and Scott May and even Don Schlunt, if you go back to the old era. One reason we decided to break it up like we did in the eras, we have the pre-night era, then we have the night era up to 85, then the 85 on night era, and then the post-night era. The reason we did that was because we felt like there would be a recency bias to an extent, and we didn't want the older eras and the players that maybe played a long time ago to not have any representation in the later rounds. So we wanted to make sure we were respectful of that and kind of make it as fair as possible. So that's how we kind of split up the regions and did the seeding based on that. That's why you see somebody like Isaiah Thomas, I think, is a not a number one seed. I think he's a two or a three. So that's kind of the rationale. But it's been fun, a lot of good feedback on it. It's hard to seed, I think, the players because there's just so many great players. And you look at even today's, there's some really good players from the post-night era that are, you know, seeded 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Romeo was actually in the play-in game for the 16 seed in the post-night era, and he lost to Troy Williams. So he's out, but Troy is going up against Yogi Ferrell today as the one seed, so Yogi's definitely going to move on. But it's just fun to think about all the great players, and we've got blurbs up on each player so you can kind of have a frame of reference for what they accomplished. And you can also define it however you want in terms of how important a player was. If you want to just base it on stats, if you want to base it on kind of the legacy that they have as a player, the impact that they made on the program long term, we're kind of leaving it a little bit open-ended. We did give some criteria that we hope people will use, but I think right now you're seeing a lot of the expected winners in each game because it's so early. But I think once we get into, you know, the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and Final Four championship rounds, it's going to be pretty fascinating to see how the voting goes.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Great stuff. It's been fun to check in as that bracket advances, and good work there. Alex, as always, thanks for the chat. Oh, I do want to ask one other quick thing. Sean East transferring. That came out this morning. Leaving UMass and will be searching for another home in Division I basketball. I'm scheduled to catch up with Sean later this afternoon to find out more of the details and maybe some schools that have already reached out now that he's officially in the transfer portal. But that said, does that surprise you? And I have to believe that with the year he had, I know it tapered off a bit as the season went on, but with the start he had, I would assume there would be a number of Division I schools at the mid-major level, maybe the mid-major plus level, that would be pursuing him as a transfer.
Yeah, you kind of wonder if distance from home is a factor in that. You know him better than I do, but I would think that he would probably want to get somewhere a little bit closer to home. I hope that he's able to find a place where he's going to be happy for the the next 3 years, and maybe he'll be one of those guys that gets, if they change the rules, he'll be able to get eligible immediately and play somewhere next season. So he had a really good start to the season, as you mentioned, and you know, things kind of leveled off there later in the year. But just a, you know, a really, I think a guy that can help, you know, a program at the mid-major level, and be cool to see him kind of come back into the Midwest so we get a chance to watch him more often. So I hadn't heard that until you just told me, but good for him, you know, and hopefully he'll find a fit that it's good for him for the long term.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, always with us Thursdays here on the show. Alex, stay healthy, stay safe. We'll talk with you next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Matt.
Don't forget the Hoosier Report each day. It's available as a podcast. If you miss the live show, you can catch a replay here on the Big X at 3 o'clock. And, of course, podcast available on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And we're available on Apple Podcast as well. We'll head to a commercial break, a quick one, and we're back with Mark Loeffner, Superintendent of Greater Clark County Schools. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, and we're going to finish the day with one of our basically non-sports interviews. We've been having on some community leaders, mayors, school officials, politicians, and others from across Clark and Floyd counties, even some health officials as well, as we're in the middle of this corona pandemic here that is greatly affecting the United States and, of course, the world as well. And today in this segment, Mark Loeffner, he's the superintendent of Greater Clark County Schools. He joins the program for an update on how all this has affected schools locally and Greater Clark locally, and also what's going on with some of the great projects and other things happening with some of the schools that make up Greater Clark County Schools. Mr. Loeffner, thanks for taking some time out. I know it's a crazy time to join us. And I guess before we get into some of the heavy business of the day, I should mention that you're a former athlete, a former coach. You've got a pretty good history in being around a number of different sports.
Yes, thank you, Matt, for having me on this morning. I really appreciate it. And yeah, I grew up playing athletics, just like, you know, a lot of people, but got involved in coaching. I grew up around the Frankfort, Indiana area. I actually coached with Marty Eckelbarger, who's known down in this part,
sure,
of the Indiana. And then once I graduated from Purdue University, I went down to South Florida and ended up teaching and coaching football and baseball down in the West Palm Beach area. So, you know, I appreciate sports. I appreciate your show, and I appreciate you letting me come on here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Coronavirus, COVID-19. It's had a great effect on so many things. And as we sit right now and watch on the edge of our seats what's going on in New York City, obviously we have to wonder what happens in the middle part of the country and what happens in some of the other large cities that make up our country. So it's been interesting to follow. We've tried to give people a local perspective. There's so much national news, and even from the state level, the governors, I think, in both states have done tremendous jobs with daily updates and press conferences and information, but you don't always hear what's going on right here locally in our communities, other than maybe there's another case of COVID-19 in Clark or Floyd counties. So we've been trying to kind of peel some of that back with leaders in the area that have greatly been affected, their organizations, their businesses, their school corporation, by this shutdown. And obviously, this virus and the concern of this virus and trying to limit the spread of COVID-19 has greatly affected education, not just here, but across the country. Have you ever seen anything like this in all your years being around school as a teacher, a principal, and, of course, now an administrator at the superintendent level?
No, I'll tell you, this, you know, one of the most unique situations I've ever dealt with. You know, I've been through snowstorms, ice storms, even been through a few hurricanes down in South Florida. But something like this, you know, getting into the sporting world, you know, there's definitely no playbook for this. And it's been, you know, an intense time for any school official, whether it be a superintendent or principal. just in terms of trying to make decisions that impact students and staff and really our community, and trying to do our part as a school system to make sure we stem the spread of this virus and you know, we also still support our students, still support our families and the community. So it's been very intense for us, and a lot of decisions have had to be made that impact a lot of people, you know, in our area.
I can only imagine some of the conversations behind the scenes as all this has come together. And, of course, May 1st is where we stand right now, all schools in Indiana out, and hope to resume May 1st, depending on the spread of this virus and what the situation looks like. Any thoughts on May 1st? I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask if you think it's going to be delayed further or if we'll go back to school at all this year, but any thoughts on maybe when local school districts, Governor Holcomb, state officials could announce that this is going to be reality. We will come back May 1st, or in a worst-case scenario, hey, that might be it for the school year as we try to control the spread of this thing. Is that something that parents, I know a lot of parents want to know about that, need to know about that. Is that something that could happen right at the May 1st deadline, or do you think there'll be some notice and some announcement before the May 1st possibility to return right now?
I think, you know, a decision will be made probably that last week of April leading up to May 1st. I think, you know, we're preparing for the worst, to be honest with you, and hoping for the best. You know, as far as Greater Clark, we're prepared to continue to do e-learning, a combination of e-learning and using waiver days through the end of the school year. We certainly hope we don't have to do that, but I would anticipate the governor coming out with something there a few days before April or before May 1st and let the school districts know, because we do have to make a lot of decisions in regards to not only spring sports, but also graduations, proms, just, you know, numerous things that need to be decided as we get close to the end of the year.
Absolutely. Mark Loftner, Greater Clark County Schools Superintendent, my guest today on the Hoosier Report. One of the key words when you hear, read about education in this shutdown, this closure, has been e-learning. And I know that's something that Greater Clark has trained for, has prepared for. And it's not just a 1 or 2 day snow event where you're going to put this thing to test. This is something that's going to be used reasonably long term until the May 1st return date, as things are set right now. For the average person that maybe hadn't been in school for a number of years or remembers the old notepads and books, the old style, what exactly is e-learning? How do the kids get their assignments? How do they submit their assignments? And talk about Greater Clark's preparation for e-learning, because as I read across the area, it sounds like you guys are somewhat ahead of the curve.
Absolutely. One of the things we did last spring, the second semester, is put a plan together to do e-learning in case we had a bad weather day so that we could have an e-learning day on those bad weather days instead of ending them or putting them on the end of the calendar, you know, after Memorial Day. So, you know, last spring we put a plan together. This fall we actually started training our teachers on the e-learning format, also our principals. And then the second semester, starting January 1st, was our date where we would start using e-learning days if we had any bad weather days. And we actually had a couple of days where we already used e-learning days. One was the Red for Ed makeup day that we used, and then also we had a bad weather day. And really the format is you're almost flipping the classroom and doing things virtually, where the teacher is creating lessons. You know, whether it's video lessons or assignments that they can deliver to students through some kind of app, such as Google Classroom or some kind of, you know, app like Edpuzzle, where they can deliver the instruction digitally, and then the students complete those lessons and then turn them in through that Google Classroom format or even through email, you know, to where the teachers can get them, grade them, give the students feedback, and continue on with the learning. That's probably the big challenge right now with e-learning is e-learning was sort of built as a model to, you know, help with 1, 2, 3 days at most. And to do it for weeks at a time is pretty difficult. People don't realize that what our teachers are doing are it's been great to see what our teachers are doing because, it's tough to come up with lessons that engage students at a high level virtually. And I'm so proud of our teachers and really proud of all of our employees in Greater Clark that, they've stepped up and really jumped into this e-learning format and have done it really well. And all our other staff, our food service workers, our custodians, maintenance workers, they've all been great through this and doing a great job. But the e-learning format, it's worked well for us. Our teachers have done it really well. And we're getting good feedback, positive feedback from our parents, positive feedback from our students and teachers. So far it's going well, but it has been tough because it wasn't built to be more than just a few days typically.
Mark Loeffner, Superintendent, Greater Clark County Schools, with us today. We can work in a little sports, Mark, in this conversation, as there are a number of facility projects underway, and I know that you're moving forward with those as essential construction continues, even with the shutdown of many things, many industries due to the coronavirus. But some exciting improvements at Jeffersonville and Charlestown. I know the football fields there, receiving turf, that really stands out, I think, to a lot of people. An update on those projects that continue to move forward and maybe some other components of facility upgrades going on right now within Greater Clark.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually just got off of a conference call with our architects and vendors and contractors. We're continuing to move forward on those projects. Up at Charlestown High School, we're going to do new turf on the football field, a new track, new bleachers, and also a new tennis facility up at Charlestown High School. And then at Jeffersonville High School, we're doing a new track, new bleachers, and new turf football field. We're really excited about that. It's something that will be a very positive thing for both communities, also something very positive for our student-athletes in track and football and tennis. So we're thrilled that we're able to do this for our students, and it's going to look really nice when it's completed. And then we're also doing a new transportation facility, which sits down in Jeffersonville. We're done a new bleacher project out at New Washington Middle High, upgrading their bleachers. So, those projects are continuing to move forward. Those vendors and contractors will continue to do that work and hopefully get started. May 1st is the start date we've identified to really for the contractors to get started on those turf projects and bleachers. So we're excited. We think it'll bring something to Greater Clark that has been needed for quite a while, and it'll be a big improvement for those schools.
Mark Loeffner, Superintendent, Greater Clark County Schools. When we talk about high school sports on this show, this station, Jeffersonville, some of the schools nearest Jeff, New Albany, kind of dominate the conversation for a number of reasons. But one thing to bring up as you talk about Charlestown and also some improvements at New Washington, I am just amazed, Mark, every time I drive out that way, out 62, and see all of the new businesses, and we're not just talking normal business buildings going up, we're talking huge industrial and commercial facilities that are just amazing. Not only is industry in that area exciting as you head out toward Charlestown and that part of Clark County, but the growth there, which obviously schools have to be ready for, and it's exciting to think how that could better and affect those schools and maybe even their athletic programs.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw some enrollment growth this year. And some people ask, well, how are you funding these projects that you're doing with the turf and the track? And the good thing about that is with the growth we've had in Greater Clark, the assessed value in Greater Clark has gone up, quite a bit, which allows us to do some projects that have needed to be done without negatively impacting the tax rate, of our community. So, we're using this as an opportunity, since we're getting this assessed value growth, to really put some plans together to improve some of our facilities. And it's really an exciting time to be in Greater Clark. We feel like we can get some pretty neat things done with our facilities, not just athletics, but also you know, within the schools and doing some things with our elementaries that will really improve our facilities overall as a district.
Talking with community guest Mark Loeffner. He's the superintendent of Greater Clark County Schools. And as we have a shutdown on sports, we've been talking with some of the mayors and other community officials from across Clark and Floyd County, and appreciate, Mark, your time today. I want to close with this, kind of getting back into something that is affected or caused by this coronavirus situation. You and other local schools, corporations, have had to figure out how to even continue meal programs. And I know that is something that you guys have been working to get out, that there are meals available at certain schools, certain drop-off points. I believe it's almost set up kind of like a drive-through, a curbside service. Can you tell us more about that, who it's for, and just some more details on your meal program right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Our food service director, Natalie Turner, who works for Aramark, has done a fantastic job planning and organizing what we're doing in Greater Clark. We have a site in each of our communities, at least one site. In Jeffersonville, we have three sites, you know, and so, you know, each site has a pickup meal service going on at those locations. You know, and we're serving meals. Just yesterday, we served over 1,000 meals, and on Monday, it was close to 2,000 meals. So, you know, what we're doing for the community has been a great thing. It's basically for any child under the age of 18. It's being funded through the summer meal program. So, you know, we anticipate being reimbursed for those meals.
Sure.
And want to continue to do it as we go through this time period up through May 1st. So, you know, we want to make sure we're doing, you know, what we can to support our students. And obviously having a meal is very important. Also continuing education for our students is very important. So we're going to do everything we possibly can to continue those services.
Mark Loeffner, Greater Clark County School Superintendent. Mr. Loeffner, thanks so much for your time. The chat today, very interesting to catch up with you, and we'll do it again.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, and listeners, keep in mind, we will be having some other community guests as we keep the show live and local each day, 11 o'clock a.m., the live show, the replay, 3 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. Back with you Friday. We'll talk IU basketball and more with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, and also Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star checks in with the Junior All-Stars announced, and lots of movement with that, and we'll catch up with Kyle tomorrow as well. Have a great Thursday. Stay healthy. Stay safe. We'll talk with you then. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.